Welcome back to Saturday Miss. My pleasure to welcome IQ Al-Rasuli, the author of Lifting the Veil, The True Faces of Muhammad and Islam, to the program, as is my honor every Friday. How are you, IQ?
Excellent, excellent. How are you, sir?
Well, I'm good. You know, I had the opportunity to share with our listeners a news story that came out day before yesterday. And it said that collectively, that violence in the world was running a collective cost of $14 trillion. The annual cost of fighting, of war in the world, now had a $14 trillion cost, which was 10% of GDP. That's a lot of money, isn't it? You could do a lot with $14 trillion.
Yes, but who is making the money? The people who are
That's also true. Good question. Now, it also said that the disparity between violent places and nonviolent places was greater than it had ever been in all of human history, and that they said that in the areas that had become the most violent, that the cost of that violence was had increased on average between 300% and 400%. Over the last year.
Only 300 to 400%, very little.
Well, one year to the next.
I tell you.
One year to the next. Now, it listed the most violent places on Earth. Syria, Afghanistan, Iraq, Libya, and Somalia were listed as the most violent places. And they said the least violent places were places like Scandinavia. So I would ask you, IQ, was there a common denominator amongst the least violent and another common denominator amongst the most violent places on Earth?
Yes. Logically, the most violent is Islam.
Yes.
The least violent is Judeo-Christian.
Yes. There you go. So, and the disparity between them was greater than any other time in world history. In other words, the lack of violence in the places that are influenced by Judeo-Christianity is at the lowest ebb in on record, while the amount of violence being perpetrated in the lands immersed in Islam was at the highest level of recorded history.
There's absolutely no doubt about that. And as we speak, this highest level is getting higher every day.
Now, would you be surprised to note that with the common denominator being Libya, Afghanistan, Iraq, Syria, Somalia, Yemen, that with those countries being the common denominator, and they spoke of also Nigeria and Chad, what would you think the odds are that they didn't mention the only common denominator between those countries?
The odds are 100% they didn't.
They didn't. That's correct.
Exactly. 100%.
Right. How can you be that disingenuous, that deceptive, that ignorant, that irrational?
They are not ignorant. They are deceptive. They are disingenuous, and they're criminal. All of them. All the reporters, all the news media, all the politicians, and all the clergy.
Okay,
and
here they're announcing mass casualties. They're announcing the kidnap and rape of little girls by the tens of thousands. They're announcing genocide, the entire annihilation of cultures and of peoples. They're announcing mass murders, and they're announcing that refugee status now, as a result of these conflicts, is approaching 100 million people. And there's one common cause of all of it, and you aren't moral enough, compassionate enough to expose and condemn the common cause?
Yes, they're not even decent enough to do that. And this is a tragedy. You know that, and I know that. We've been discussing this for God knows how many years.
Mm-hmm.
The willful deception by our leaders in the West is so criminal. It's treasonous. It's treacherous. They deserve to be literally put on trial, found guilty, executed.
Yeah. And by the way, that is actually a fair assessment, because we're not talking about a victimless crime here. We're talking about hundreds of millions of people having their lives and their possessions snatched from them. We're talking about one of the greatest refugee crises in all of human history. We're talking about little girls by the tens of thousands being kidnapped and gang raped day after day. You know, we're talking about genocide of entire communities and cultures. And so to actually create an environment where the perpetrator of this great crime is not only exonerated, but is armed to the teeth and empowered, what could be a more murderous deed?
It can't be. There's nothing more murderous than what you just said. It's impossible.
Right.
They are literally allowing hundreds of millions of human beings to be slaughtered, to be subjugated, to be terrorized. That's exactly what they're doing.
Well, if we're right about this, IQ, then there is a crime worse than pedophilia. There's a crime worse than rape. There's a crime worse than mass murder.
The crime
worse than any of these is the crime of enabling those who commit these crimes in huge numbers.
Yes, it's called the crime of silence. Silence means consent.
Yeah.
The fact that these people, you just said, the report was written, and yet they never once mentioned it is to do with Islam.
Okay.
So who is the criminal?
I'm going to take exception with you on that.
Oh.
I would agree that the way I have presented it, that the crime that is implied is the crime of silence. But that is a crime. The crime of, if you're unwilling to stand up and be accounted when there is a doctrine that is causing the kidnap and rape of tens of thousands of little girls and is going unabated, that is perpetrating grievous genocide, that's engaged in mass murder, in the most horrific forms of decapitation, and you don't speak out against it, I think that's a crime. But there's something far worse than that almost everyone in the government and the military and in the media is guilty of doing. They're actually running interference for the very religion that is at the core of all of this. They're apologizing for it. They're lying on its behalf. They're arming it with the ability to do this in ever greater numbers. That's a far worse crime. They're aliases, they're accomplices in all of this.
Well, they are aiding and abetting the most criminal organization the world has ever known.
They are.
Yes.
Yes. That's a serious problem. It's not just that they're sitting there silently while little girls are kidnapped and raped. It's that they're exonerating those who are doing the kidnapping and the rape.
Well, let me elaborate. They are exonerating Islam by not mentioning that it is Islam. The fact that they do not associate all these criminalities, all these criminal organizations with Islam is a crime.
Didn't the President of the United States say that the Islamic State is not Islamic?
Yes, whoever says that should be removed from office.
Didn't the Muslim guy, a guy that gets paid big bucks by media and by universities to come in and lie on behalf of the religion, didn't the Muslim guy say that Boko Haram was not Islamic?
Of course. But he's saying it because he's following the Quran, Taqiyya. He is lying through his rotten teeth because it is sanctified in his belief system by Allah, their demonic god, to lie to the infidels. He's doing his right job.
Right. Now, you know, if it's interesting, though, of course, if you were the least bit rational, and your religion told you, and by the way, it's in the Quran and in the Hadith, that you are to lie on behalf of your religion to make your victims easier prey, and that you were told that Allah lied and that Muhammad lied and that it's good for you to lie, why would you trust such a God? Why would you trust such a religion?
Because you don't have intellect to think about it in a rational manner. That's why.
But isn't it just obvious that if your God says that I'm lying, if your prophet says I'm lying, if your scriptures say it's good for you to lie, Why would you ever, under any circumstance, trust such a religion or doctrine or God or prophet?
But we agreed before.
Yeah.
One thing is factual. The the prisoners in the United States of America, in the prison system, and in Europe, convert to Islam because they are criminals. And Islam is music to their ears.
Yes.
Literally. It allows them to do exactly what they were put in prison for.
Yeah. I don't think I would even use the word convert, because they're already acting like Muslims when they perpetrate crimes of rape and pedophilia and stealing and murder. What does the Quran say about stealing? Doesn't it say it's lawfully good?
Of course.
Doesn't the Quran tell Muslims that that they have to kill non-Muslims?
So when you have a criminal on a life sentence, or even half a life sentence, hears this, of course he'll become convert to Islam. And then he will pretend he is a religious person. Not at all.
Yeah. Quran, you use the religion to justify those horrible acts.
Absolutely.
But isn't that what the Islamic State is doing? They're using the religion to justify pedophilia and rape and kidnapping and mass murder.
I've been saying this in the last few years regarding, ISIS only a few months, but Boko Haram before that, Al-Qaeda before that, Al-Shabaab before that.
Mm-hmm.
They are criminal organizations who follow the Quran, which is a criminal manifesto.
Yes. Is there really any difference between the PLO, Black September, which was a derivative of the PLO, and all of the murder and kidnapping and extortion, the hijacking and overt terrorism that they perpetrated in the name of Islam and the Quran and the Islamic State?
None whatsoever. The only difference really is that the Islamic State is even more meticulous in following Muhammad's Sunnah than the PLO ever did.
Yeah, that's probably true. You know, America said, our president said that we weren't at war with Islam, we're at war with Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda's gone. There's nothing left of Al-Qaeda.
Your president is a pathological liar and not even stupid. He is deliberately misleading America.
So who are we fighting now? IQ. I had a discussion with Kirk over the entire first hour. You probably are aware that an African-American church was that a 21-year-old white boy with a gun went into this church and killed 9 people. 6 of them were women. And he justified what he did, saying that you're raping our women and you're stealing our country. Are you aware of that story?
100%, yes.
Okay, all right. The thing that first probably resonated with you is that his justification for killing people that had absolutely nothing to do with what he was protesting, his justification was exactly what we hear Muslims say some 90% of the time as they justify their crime. Like the Boston bombers, they used exactly the same line. Almost every Muslim today uses the same line, that you're raping our women and you're stealing our country. That's probably the first thing that resonated with you.
Correct. But I was shocked that he did it with Christian people instead of with Muslims.
Yeah. Now the next thing was that his justification was the exact same justification the Muslims use. Now the second thing I thought you probably resonated with you is, can you imagine how screwed up you have to be to walk into a building, sit with them for an hour, and then systematically blow 9 people away at point blank range that are totally and completely defenseless? And you probably equated that to what Muslims do, where almost universally they attack defenseless individuals who can't fight back, and they kill people who have absolutely nothing to do whatever their grievances are. And you probably saw that same level of stupidity and indoctrination.
Yes, exactly the same.
Right.
Exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
And
so
he's a coward. After he murdered them, he ran away.
Yeah.
He's a coward, like the Muslims.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. It's like the Muslims wearing their black face masks and then decapitating someone. Citing the Quran verses, it's bound hand and foot. The kidnapping and then raping little girls. It's the same mentality. The thing that we talked about for an hour was who's responsible? Is it the gun? That's what Obama wants you to believe. Is it racists who are just hateful of people different from themselves? Or is there something more fundamental that is to blame for this and for the school shootings, for the Boston Marathon bombing? Is there a common denominator in all of these terrorist acts where wholly innocent and defenseless people are being killed by some crazy person? Is there a common denominator? And I think there is.
Well, I can't figure it out because I know besides being irrational behavior,
mm-hmm.
You tell me what it is.
Okay. So, for somebody to be conditioned at 21 years old that a white supremacist mentality, you're raping our women and you're stealing our country, and therefore... nine people who have nothing to do with either of these two things, who have never engaged in rape and who aren't stealing anything, who are sitting there in a Bible study in a African-American church one evening, to have been convinced that he was right in doing so and wanting the world to know why he did it. It speaks of a problem that is the same problem that the Muslim manifests when they say, well, we were justified in doing the Boston bombing because you're stealing our countries and you're raping our women.
But
the same root problem exists.
Yeah, but there is a difference.
Mm-hmm.
The Muslim is being indoctrinated on a daily mm-hmm. basis from the day he was born.
That is correct. That's the common denominator. There is a national religion in the West. Now, in the West, the national religion isn't Christianity and it's not Islam. In the West, the national religion is socialist secular humanism. It is the religion of education. If you are not accepting of that religion, you do not advance in education. You'll keep a job. You don't even graduate from graduate school. It is the religion of politics. So it's the only political position that is tolerated. It is the religion of the media. So it's the only message that anyone ever hears. The core, right at the heart of socialist secular humanism, is an aversion to exercising good judgment, while at the same time a constant onslaught of conditioning, that you're conditioned that to exercise good judgment, to stand up, to determine right from wrong, is very costly and very wrong, and you'll be demeaned and condemned if you do so. So we'll pursue this in a moment. IQ, I agree with you, and you're saying that the reasons that Muslims commit terrorist acts, the reason they kidnap little girls and then gang rape them day after day, the reason they're perpetrating genocide on many different communities and cultures, is that they have been indoctrinated from the time that they were, you know, 1 year old. That Muslims are the victims of other cultures, other communities. That all of the hell and hellish conditions that Muslims live in is not their fault, but the fault of others. And they've been conditioned to hate them because that's what the Quran says. And to kill them, because that's what the Quran says. But I would tell you that IQ is beyond indoctrination. It's also conditioning, and this is where I want to make my parallel. They have been conditioned to know that the consequence of saying, wait a minute, what you're telling me is insane. Jews aren't responsible for our lack of economy. Christians aren't responsible for the fact that we have no rights and that women are treated like trash. Secular humanists aren't responsible for the fact that we're the most violent people on earth. We're responsible. And if you were to say that in an Islamic country, you have been conditioned to know that those who have gone before you, that have stood up and took a stand on that which was truthful and moral, that they have been hacked to death. So you're conditioned not to stand up. Correct?
Correct. Yes.
All right. Okay, now, let me transition to this this idiot in America that walked into the Bible study, sat there for an hour, and then blew people away while telling one person, I want you to live so you can explain what happened here. He was conditioned, too. It's pervasive in the Western society. You live in Europe, but it's pervasive there, too. The education system has been taken over by those who not only indoctrinate, and they indoctrinate on behalf of political correctness, which is to be universally incorrect about almost all things. But they condition. They demonstrate that if you stand up, if you make a stand, if you hold out for that which is truthful and reasonable and rational and moral, that you're going to be publicly humiliated. You'll get a bad grade. You'll be disgraced and mocked by your teachers and your classmates. You are conditioned just to accept the lies that they are promoting. You're conditioned not to stand up. So why do you think that the journalists can't equate Islam with the source of the violence? The conditioning.
Conditioning.
So this young man, he was conditioned, he was indoctrinated by a white supremacist to blame blacks for all that was troubling to him. He was indoctrinated in that regard. Do you know why the indoctrination prevailed and this young man didn't say, wait a minute, what you're telling me is nonsense? Because he was conditioned not to question.
Right.
What does the Quran say in the fifth surah, at the very end of the fifth surah, about those
never
who questioned the Quran?
The Quran?
Yeah, it says that those who question the Quran lost their faith. And then what does the Quran say about those who lose their faith?
They have to die.
Kill them. Right. Kill them so that Allah can torture them in hell.
Yes.
It's conditioning. We have been conditioned as a people to avoid exercising good judgment and discerning what is truthful and what is not, what is beneficial and what is counterproductive. We've been conditioned. This young man that walked into the church was conditioned. The Muslims with the Islamic State have been conditioned. And so they're no longer thoughtful. You can't reason with them.
But why did he pick on a Bible study place and not a mosque? That's what I want.
Because from his indoctrination was that from some white supremacist, it may well have been even his father, but some white supremacist, that blacks are bad, that blacks are rapists, that blacks are trying to steal America. And because his education failed him, because he was indoctrinated rather than educated, and because he was conditioned not to think and not to take a stand against lies, he just accepted it. Now, if you were thoughtful, you would say, you know, it's not blacks that are trying to steal the country. You know, you'd be thoughtful about it. And you would be thoughtful and say that these people in this church have nothing to do with my alleged beef.
Correct.
And that my life isn't miserable because of people I don't know down here. These people in this Bible study, they're not making my life miserable. Maybe my life is miserable because of the people around me.
Yeah.
He doesn't think.
Yeah, but he's not thinking. As you said, if he's conditioned, it's like a Pavlovian dog.
Right. Exactly. That's correct. That's the whole of Western society, though. I mean, how is it, IQ, that we can, week after week, expose the truth about Islam, make the connections of the common denominator between this hellish behavior that is happening around the world and Islam, and have so few people be willing to take a stand and say, yeah, we need to quarantine Islam. We need to be opposed to it. It's immoral not to be opposed to it. Somebody said yesterday, a politician, that the cause of the crime was hate. And I disagree with that. I disagree with that. Let me tell you why I disagree with it. Our problem is that we don't hate enough. It's not that we hate too much. I hate pedophilia, and I hate pedophiles. I hate rape, and I hate rapists. I hate murder, and I hate mass murderers. I hate those institutions that promote and condone and encourage these things. I hate them. And I would do everything in my power to encourage other people to disassociate from them, to expose them and condemn them, because they are hateful, and we ought to hate those things. If we don't hate them, we're not being loving. We're not being compassionate. I think the problem is we don't have enough hate. We should be despising institutional deception that leads to pedophilia, rape, and violence and kidnapping. I think the opposite of what is being claimed is true. We don't hate enough.
You make more sense every minute.
You hate Islam, don't you?
I despise it. To hate it is...
I despise Islam, too. Why do you despise Islam?
Because they are beneath contempt. It's that simple.
Because Muslims, following Islam as it was outlined by Muhammad and in the Quran and Hadith, in Sharia, are committing despicable acts in great numbers. Mass murder, kidnapping, enslavement, pedophilia, rape, genocide. If you don't hate those things and the inspiration for those things, then you're not moral. You're the most moral guy I get to talk to. Because you're the person that hates the cause of these things the most.
Yes.
The problem in our world today is not that we hate too much. It's that we hate too little.
What you mean is we don't hate enough the items that should be hated.
That's correct. I never heard you once tell me that you hated Iraqis. I've never heard you once tell me you hated Syrians. I've never once heard you say you hated Somalians. I've never once heard you say I hate Indonesians. I've never once heard you say that I hate Arabs. What I have heard you say over and over again is I despise Islam because it's a criminal enterprise that is condemning the entire world to death and destruction.
Including the Muslims who are the first victims.
Right. Yes. And by hating the cause of such horrific behavior, you're the most loving person there is towards Muslims.
We are both very compassionate towards Muslims. Right. We are trying to save them.
Right.
And by saving them, we are saving humanity.
Right. And we're not trying to save them from their religion. We can't do that.
We can save them
from the hell that their religion perpetrates by exposing and condemning the religion and holding the religion accountable.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We're not asking them to convert to anything.
No. Absolutely.
Just
come to recognize the source of the problem, expose it and condemn it, and if we do that, then Muslims won't be the victims of Islam any longer.
And there will be peace.
Yeah.
You know, Obama was very, very, very upset of what happened in Carolina in the
mm-hmm.
mass murder. But he never opened a single word. He never mentioned a single condemnation of what Muslims have been doing to Christians in my country. And in Syria, and in Libya, and in Egypt, and in every Muslim country.
Responsibility for it.
Not all
of the violence that is being perpetrated today, either by the Islamic State or the Shia militias from Iran in opposition to the Islamic State, is being perpetrated because America went into your homeland, went into America, to Iraq, and broke it. Have you ever heard an American take responsibility for that?
No. It's not only Iraq broken now. Libya is broken.
Egypt's broken. Egypt's broken. And, you know, Egypt's broken because, A, we opposed Mubarak, and told Mubarak that he was in opposition to democracy. We promoted a concept that in the Islamic world is always counterproductive, and it led to the Muslim Brotherhood, whom Obama supported and Hillary supported, winning the election, being draconian in their behavior, and then we supported Sisi as a dictator and armed him so that he could suppress his people even worse than Mubarak did. We've created hell. There's genocide now taking place in Egypt in terms of the Christians. We're responsible.
Well, yeah.
We encouraged it. We enabled it.
Obama did. Obama,
yes,
single-handed.
Absolutely.
Did.
Yeah. But, you know, Obama is not the one that broke Iraq. You know, it goes back to all the way back, really, to Jimmy Carter.
Absolutely. Jimmy Carter was the one who initiated the Islamic movement in the world by allowing Khomeini to take over Iran.
Yeah. And this conflict now between Sunni and Shia Muslims, all initiated by the stupidity of Jimmy Carter. And he was responsible for creating Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda doesn't exist without Jimmy Carter. IQ, you've probably heard the line that the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result.
Correct.
All right.
Very clever.
What did America do in your country that caused the country to break apart and make it a country that had almost no acts of terror to the country that witnesses more acts of terrorism than any other nation on earth?
A repetition of the same mistake.
We bombed it, didn't we?
Yep.
We invaded it, we bombed it. We sent our military there. We broke it. And that changed it from being a country where Shias and Sunnis actually lived together in relative peace and where there was no acts of Islamic terrorism to speak of, and now it's a civil war, annihilation of peoples. So you would assume that we would have learned from that, and that now that we have an open civil war going on there, that the very last thing that we would do is try to solve the problem by more troops and more bombing. But what are we committed to doing?
More
what are we
bombing.
Doing?
More bombing.
Yeah.
They haven't understood that you cannot destroy an enemy. You cannot destroy a belief system.
A religious
system.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
Not by bombs.
System.
You cannot ever destroy it by bombs.
No.
You have to destroy it by showing it for what it is.
Correct.
A completely evil system.
Or just false. It showed as being destructive. Right. Immoral. Mm-hmm. That's correct. And we're doing the opposite.
Yes.
So why would the result, why should we be surprised the result continues to be the same? We're continuing to make a bad situation worse.
Exactly. That's what happened in Somalia. They did the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
They did in Lebanon exactly the same thing. It failed and they got. In Yemen, it was the same thing and it failed. In Libya, it was the same thing. And they are not learning.
In Libya, Right. Exactly the same thing in Libya.
Anything.
Wasn't it? Right.
Libya was
same thing in Afghanistan, in Iraq, in Syria.
Right.
And what do we do in Yemen? All those bombings with the drones
now.
In Yemen?
You've been chucked out of the Yemen.
Right. But all we were doing was bombing. It's like half of our drone bombs were in Yemen.
Yeah, I don't know whether you would agree with me. I had a radio host over a year ago, when I was criticizing America's interference in Afghanistan, and they're not going to do a good job, they will fail.
Mm-hmm.
He said, okay, you're so clever. What would you do if you were in Afghanistan? I said, if I go to any village, I take the imam and hang him in every village.
Okay.
I don't know if you agree with me, but believe me, I know.
Mm-hmm.
If I do that, it's like Saddam Hussein used to do that. There would be no problem anymore. It is the imam, and only the imam, in every Friday, in every mosque, who incites the people to go to jihad.
Yes. Well, that's true. And what you're doing is saying that you would slay the most evil to show the greatest possible mercy to the greatest percentage of people. That there is no Islamic terrorism. If the Imam is silenced, if you do away with the source of the jihad, that there is no jihad.
Absolutely. If you destroy the source of the disease, there is no disease.
Yeah. And the difference between you and me is that I would never go to Afghanistan. Would never go there.
Yes.
And what I would do instead is I would do what we're doing. I would use words. I would expose the Quran and Hadith, expose Muhammad and Allah for the complete, utter fraud that they are, for the immorality that it promotes, for its death and destruction, for its criminal nature. And I would use words to constantly expose it and condemn it so that anyone capable of rational thought would disapprove it, would quarantine it, would stop intervening in its world, would stop sending them weapons. So if they wanted to kill each other, let them kill each other. They'd have no way to kill us.
But yeah, the reason that we, you and I are not winning is because the media is allowing the other side to talk and you and I not to ever be interviewed. Mm-hmm. That's why.
That is correct. That is correct. The media, because of political correctness.
The suppression of information, the suppression of knowledge, the suppression of the truth on a daily basis.
We get right back down to indoctrination and control, right back down to conditioning, don't we? Right, right. So the core of the problem is the conditioning of society to accept that which is so incredibly destructive and deadly.
Yes, sir.
So our greatest foe isn't actually Islam.
No.
It's the conditioning of society.
It wasn't Islam, it is our leaders, the media, academia, clergy, and politicians.
And ourselves for electing them, for listening to them.